Today, what I want to talk about is a little bit of Bible prophecy, particularly in the book of Revelation, because I believe that we need to be talking about prophetically from the church what is happening in the world right now. I'm so grateful you guys have been sitting under Pastor Brandon's teaching, where we understand that we take the word of God and we apply it prophetically to what's happening in the world today, that the word of God tells us these things are going to happen. And on that note, we have to understand that there's going to be an increase of persecution against Christians as we get closer to the end. But also, there's going to be a coming one world government, what we call, what the globalists call the New World Order, and what the Bible calls the beast system. The Bible has prepared us over 200 verses in the New Testament that talk about persecution. So it shouldn't be a surprise that if we're going to be standing for Christ, that we're going to be probably persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How many of you desire to be righteous for Christ? Amen? Amen. So therefore, guaranteed, you're going to be persecuted. We're going to see some suffering, and that suffering will increase to some extent as we get closer to the end of the Lord's return for his church. Number two, John 15. Jesus himself said, the world will love you. No, that's not what he said. Wait a second. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. To me, this is the number one problem with the church today in the West, is that the churches are trying to get the world to love them. You know, if we just love, if we just become more tolerant and more, relevant, that the world will love us. Guess what? The world will never love you. Never, ever, ever. In fact, I would say if you're living for Christ, the world ought to hate you. We have our priorities backed up. Now, I'm not saying that I get up in the morning, I'm like, I can't wait for someone to hate me today. We obviously want to have the favor of God and have people be drawn to the Spirit of God in us, right? Amen? For the sake of sharing the gospel, for the sake of the good news. But the fact is, if I'm standing for Christ today, especially today, and somebody doesn't hate you, something ain't right. You know what I'm saying? That just doesn't smell right. So we got to understand that the Bible has prepared us for these things, and in fact has prepared us even for more than that. We are in the midst of the worst persecution of Christians in church history. I did a DVD that we have on our back table. You see the image there called War on Christians. And it goes through the ideological hatred and persecution of Christians, particularly coming from Islam. Since I'm a former Muslim, I became a Christian 22 years ago from a Muslim background, I teach on the fact that Islam teaches the hatred against Christians and Jews. Wherever you see hatred of Christians, you're going to see anti-Semitism at the same time. It goes hand in hand. So a very powerful DVD. But that's focusing on ideological persecution. What I want to focus on this morning is governmental persecution. The outlawing, the fact that they're trying to criminalize us. Do we see that? They're trying to criminalize Bible-believing, professing, living Christians. Because we're a threat. So what does the Bible say about these things? Well, if you turn your Bibles with me to Revelation 13, we're going to look at just a little bit of this verse here. I call this, Revelation 13, particularly in Revelation 13, the unholy trinity. Now, to understand Revelation, and again, you guys have been sitting under Pastor Brandon, you know this. To understand Revelation, you got to read the book of Daniel and make sure that you're going parallel. The two go hand in hand, particularly Daniel chapter 7 on. And even when you think, if you look at the tribulation, chapter 9 of Daniel, right? We understand the triggering of the tribulation, the specific 70th week, 7 years, right? That's how we get the idea of the 70th week. But Revelation 13 specifically is talking about two beast systems. Now, within those two beast systems, you're going to see this unholy trinity. One world government, one world economy, one world religion. Revelation 13, 1 through 11, which I don't have time to read, is describing the rising of the beast out of the sea, which is a synonymous term or a metaphoric term for the nations. So nations are going to arise into a global system, according to Revelation 13, and then they will be ruled over by a leader that is the Antichrist, right? The beast system of the sea will be ruled over by one who will come. And then interestingly, in verse 1 through 11, if you read it on your own time, you'll see that he gets a head wound. He is killed and then resurrected, of course, mimicking Christ, right? And then he will govern in that final second half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, 42 weeks. Did I get 42 weeks, right? Yeah. Over this global governance, the ultimate control over the earth for that period of time. Now, in verse 11, where we're going to pick up, it's talking about the beast of the earth. So again, Second Thessalonians, as a parallel verse, or as a supporting verse, I should say, if you read Second Thessalonians talking about the coming of the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, the idea that this state of lawlessness will endure. This is the Antichrist system. So again, Revelation 13 is describing what's called a beast system, which is a globalist system. So let's make sure we're clear about this. Globalism is a beast system. Does that make sense? So I said this in the last service. Why are so many Christians being taught or encouraged towards embracing globalism? Now, not the idea of all nations, because we are to go into all the nations of the earth, all the nations, plural, the people group, plural, but we're not to be for globalism. Verse 11, put my glasses on here. I got the right ones. Yes, Pastor. Okay, there we go. Pastor Brandon and I got ours mixed up in the first service. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast. So this is talking about the false prophet, right? So we have the Antichrist and the false prophet. He mimics the prophet. And now he's going to get everybody to worship the Antichrist. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man. Now watch verse 14. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast. Now, this is nothing new, by the way. Again, go to Book of Daniel, right? Of the one who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath. So he's granted power by who? By Satan, to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause many as would not worship in the image of the beast to be killed. So he is going to then come after and target those who would not take the what? Mark of the beast. Right? So Revelation 13 is now describing specifically the mark of the beast, that all are going to have to take the mark of the beast. If you don't, you're going to be killed. And the Bible goes on to say that those who take the mark of the beast will not be able to be saved. I mean, that's pretty serious, isn't it? That's pretty serious. So what are the conditions like that would then be the precursor for the mark of the beast? Could we be living and beginning to see the birth pains of those conditions? I mean, if you had asked me 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Pastor Brandon, how closer we are to, you know, people taking the mark. I'm not sure, 50-50. After the last 18 months, woo! Yeah. I'm like, it's going to be easy peasy with how we've seen people react to the last 18 months, particularly. So what is going on? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 24, right, that so, just as it was in the days of Noah, so will be right before the coming of the Son of Man. And so why did God destroy the earth with the flood? It wasn't because of sin or unrighteousness. It was because of the fact that the DNA had been corrupted. I believe that's the number one reason, because you saw the sons of God intermarrying with the daughters of man, and the DNA was corrupted. So God's got to destroy the earth, destroy that corrupted DNA, and then preserve the pure DNA of Noah, ultimately for the DNA of the Messiah. But he destroyed the earth. Could it be, just as it was in the days of Noah, that we're seeing the corruption of human DNA again. Think about that for a minute. Especially what we're seeing now with these gene therapies now we're starting to see. Listen, what we're seeing now, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, this is not the vaccines of, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. This is a whole different ball of wax. And I so appreciate you guys have had speakers in like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Simone Gold and others who are, have been talking about what's going on because we have not. Pastor Brandon, why are we not having churches hosting these people? Why are we not having churches be the source of information? Forget the lying media. Forget the corrupt government officials. Why are we not having the church be open and a place where people can come and hear the truth? Because you surely don't get it on YouTube. You don't get it on Facebook. Just try. There's two things you can't post on YouTube. Anything about the election theft, anything about COVID. Good luck posting anything. I did a 30-minute video when I got my second strike on YouTube. 30-minute video. I mentioned COVID for about 45 seconds. And that video got taken down. I got my second strike. Because doesn't that tell you something's going on, right? So we're going to talk about that. So what is this saying now? Watch this. Going back to the verse. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. What's interesting is that in the context of the early Jews reading this, they would have understood this because, as you know, the very rabbinical Jews, they have that little box that goes on their forearm, and then they put it on their forehead, and that's supposed to be the housing of the knowledge of God. Now, my understanding is that some of that is not Toranic, it's a Talmudic, because they believe in this mysticism. But the bottom line is they would have understood this concept, and how amazing that that's the deception of the Antichrist. And let's not forget the entire tribulation, what is it about? The main purpose of the tribulation ultimately is God's got to deal with the Jewish people. He's got to deal with that root of the tree. And to me it's amazing that the Messiah promises that he will be the shepherd of the Jews again. I think that's remarkable. Anyway, moving on though. So I've just shown you that the Bible is telling us that the coming beast system out of the sea is global governance, and the coming beast system out of the earth is global religion. So one world government, one world economy, one world religion. And so what part of that are we supposed to partake in? In fact, in Revelation 20, those who did not take the mark, watch this. He says, John says, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Judgment was given over to them in their hands. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. Now obviously their initial reward is they get to go to heaven. The second reward is, look at this, they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. I mean, that's remarkable that they get to be in the millennial kingdom when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom on earth. So my question is, if they're willing to lay their life down to obey God's word, what are we willing to do? I believe we're in the midst of not only the rise of Islam, globalism, ecumenicalism. All these are converging to create that unholy trinity. One world government, one world economy, one world religion, which the Bible calls the beast system or the antichrist system. Now, yeah, you can look at the picture. Just take a minute. Now, they needed something, the globalists, the enemy. They needed something to move this along. This didn't start with COVID-19. It didn't start in 2019. And I'm going to show you that it was not a pandemic. Most of you hopefully know that. But this was planned long ago. In fact, it was planned going back to at least 1991. Now, it was all, listen, we can argue it was planned because it's in the Bible, right? So the enemy has been planning this because God has obviously prophesied these things are going to happen. But the timing of it now, in 1991, under George Bush, they met in Japan, they came up with a document that they then termed Agenda 21. Anybody heard of that? Agenda 21. The Agenda 21 document was the document for global governance. It was the pathway to bring about that unholy trinity: global governance, global economy, and then ultimately global religion under one umbrella. And then it went from there to, it didn't matter, Republican, Democrat, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, it didn't matter. Until comes along a guy named Donald Trump. That miraculous, by the way, tonight you're gonna see the parallels between the Shah of Iran and Donald Trump. It will blow your mind. So that was my little teaser. So all you online, make sure you tune in as well, please. But they had to find a mechanism because the goal of Agenda 21 was what they call the Great Reset. The idea is we got to reset the entire planet, reimagine global government and global economy. And this reset is what this whole thing was about. Here's Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, One World Economy, who said the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. Funny. I mean, I must be a fool that I thought that it was about saving lives and people not dying. But you know, if that was true, I knew this whole thing stunk from the very beginning, and I'm not saying there's not a virus, because I said this, I think I was here last year. If it was about saving lives, the very first thing they should have done was shut down the abortion clinics, right? Yeah. The very first thing. You think murdering your baby is an essential service? But we have to understand, this was never about your health. You see, if you read Agenda 21, and I have, if you read Agenda 2030, and it's disturbing, by the way. I mean, when you read this kind of stuff, this is why I sound the way that I do. Because you get changed. Because you have to look into the pit of hell sometimes. You gotta look at the evil. You gotta understand, be gentle as a dove. We wanna be gentle as doves. We never wanna be wise as a serpent. And actually look at the enemy's plan. They're telling you what they're gonna do to you. When Agenda 21, when they tell you in their documents that their goal is to bring population down to 500 million people. How do you think they're gonna do that? They gotta kill people. Right? They gotta starve you. They gotta kill you off. They gotta make sure you can't have babies. Pastor Bannon was talking about in the last service. He'll talk about it later. The fact that there's more and more and more proof that these shots are causing infertility. Well, we've known that. If you follow Gates and how many countries have been kicked out of for these vaccines causing infertility. They sterilize women. Now they're calling miscarriages. Women who are menopausal are having periods again. But this stuff won't come out because you don't want to know. Because this was never about COVID. It was never about your health. It was about the Great Reset. And it was about the fact that they had to implement Agenda 21. Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, what they call sustainable development, right? It's all about the planet. We're killing the planet. We're killing the planet. It's all about that. The whole idea is it's a trifecta. It's the unholy trinity, folks. We gotta put the pieces of the puzzle together. And let's talk about the first part of this. One world government. One world government has to be under the guise of what they call globalism, right? The idea of nationalism is a threat to one world government. The idea that a nation would be sovereign, the idea that a guy named Donald Trump would show up and say, America first, and all of a sudden other world leaders start going, you know what, maybe we should do Hungary first, Poland first, Italy first, Austria first, Brazil first. Other world leaders started paying attention and following suit. Uh-oh. We have a problem. Now the globalists are panicking because we have to bring global government under the New World Order, United Nations, and China. China is the model for their global governance. And yet the nations that are standing are a threat. And the biggest kid on the block is America, right? And so, our church in Knoxville, as I said, is called Patriot Church. We get a lot of flack. We get a lot of media attention. And the number one question the media asks when they call us is, are you a Christian nationalist? And my answer to them is yes. Now, remember, the way they want to paint us in that is you're a Nazi. You're a Nazi. No, I'm a Christian nationalist. Why? Well, number one, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. But number two, I'm a nationalist. Why? Did I just not show you Revelation 13? Is the God of the Bible a God of nationalism or globalism? Right? There should be no doubt. Yet you have major evangelical leaders right now shaming us, shaming any Christian that dares be a patriot at the same time, as if it's some sort of a huge sin that we love God's kingdom, but we care for our nation. We care for our liberties. We care for the condition of our cities. And are we not supposed to? Even in captivity, Jeremiah 29, God tells them, pray for the peace of your city. That's in captivity. But no. These woke Christians would tell us, no. You're sinful. They wrote a huge article about it saying how any Christian that says they're a patriot is sinful. Christian nationalism is a sin. We're not putting the nation over God's kingdom. But please understand that the God of the Bible is a God of borders and boundaries and nations. And for us to be espousing globalism, in fact, I'd argue this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, let's help globalism along. Even though we know in the Word of God, these things are happening and they're going to happen, right? As sure as I'm standing here before you, I have no doubt in my mind, as the Bible has prophesied it, everything that was fulfilled already will mean everything that is yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled. Amen? Everything. Including Jesus is coming back soon. So therefore, we can stand on it. But nowhere does it say, hasten the coming of the global order. The only thing the Bible says is hasten the coming of the Lord by preaching the gospel to all the ends of the earth. We're not supposed to join in with the global governance and root for this antichrist. Have I not shown you it's an antichrist system? It's the beast system. And we're not talking about it. Number two, they got to destroy global economy, right? The idea of private property, the idea of private businesses, entrepreneurship. The idea that you have control over your finances. The idea of hard currency, gold and silver-backed currency, rather than digital currency that's some digital code that you don't ever touch. And of course, they're moving away from the dollar being backing the global currency to the Chinese yuan. And so we have to understand this is part of that agenda. Destroy private, small businesses. You think the corporations have done well during COVID? Most of these corporations, the big corporate entities, their wealth has gone up over 40% in the last 18 months. How are small businesses doing, folks? We've decimated businesses, right? That was not an accident. You think that this was an accident that they shut down? You're at Walmart like this, elbow to elbow with people, but you can't go into a small business with two people in the store. You can't come to church and sing and worship. You think that was an accident? No, it was intentional because it's all part of the Great Reset. And so what the Bible calls the beast system, they call the New World Order. Does that make sense? And the New World Order has certain enemies. If you're a nationalist, you're an enemy. If you're a Christian, you're an enemy. If you believe in individual liberty and individual rights under God, you're an enemy. That's why they hate our Constitution. That's why they hate. And that's why they hated Trump. And all these never-Trumpers in the church. Woe to them. Woe to them. Because it wasn't about Trump. It was about what he was accomplishing and how God was using him. This was a miracle that this guy got elected in 2016. It slowed down. It was pushing back. And I'm going to show you tonight. The coup against him didn't happen in November 3rd, 2020. The coup against him happened November 3rd, 2016. You'll see it tonight. But he went to the UN, gives an incredible speech that nobody sees, the media doesn't cover because they're so corrupt, warning the globalists, putting them on notice that we're not going to go down the road of globalism, Marxism, socialism. We're going to be America first, and we're going to be for patriotism. There's that dirty word again, right? You're a patriot. I was telling Pastor Brandon that there's a fellow brother in the Lord who lost his life a couple years ago, who was murdered. You guys know Phil Haney. And I was telling him, I said, you know, he asked me, have you heard anything? I said, nothing. We have handed over stuff to the FBI. We handed over credible leads of somebody we thought that could have taken him out. Nothing. Not one word. We had threats from that individual. We had letters. Nothing. Yet the FBI bothers contacting me because I dared be in Washington, D.C. on January 6th praying for our nation. calling and intimidating pastors. They just called Pastor Ken Peters. This is where we're at now. So anyway, he delivers this message. Well, three weeks later, they have an event in Western Europe, a pandemic exercise. You see on the screen there. This is their website, and it looks like Event 201, right? Event 201. We call it Event 201, but really that's a planet. So it's really Event 21. It's really Agenda 21. Are you getting it? So in order to implement Agenda 21/2030, a pandemic was always part of the plan. You get it? That's why we call it a plandemic. It's not because we're saying there's no virus. I was one of the people right at the very beginning said, yeah, there's a virus. It's bioengineered. It's man-made. There's no way this is natural occurring. We were called kooks and nuts. Now even the left-wing lying media is now saying, well, you know, it probably came from a lab in Wuhan. And oh, by the way, we were funding it. Oh, and by the way, gain of function, right? Gain of function is just a really evil, fancy word for saying, let's take a naturally occurring virus, weaponize it, bioengineer it so it's more lethal to humans. Little lying Fauci should be brought up on charges in The Hague. He should be brought up against the Nuremberg Code and brought up on charges of crimes against humanity and anybody that was funding that, including, by the way, potentially Pence.
Amen.
These are all criminals. Amen. That have committed crimes against humanity. That this is the largest criminal activity in the history of the world. What happened in the last 18 months? Amen. Largest criminal conspiracy. In fact, they could open up a RICO case like they do with the mob and charge all these people. I don't think it will ever happen. But understand, they practiced 3 weeks after Trump in October of 2019. And look at the scenario. This is from their website. That they're going to release a zootonic coronavirus transmitted from a bat to a pig. Remember what they told us, how this happened supposedly? It's going to be transmissible from person to person, leading to a severe pandemic. The pathogen and the disease it causes are modeled largely on SARS, but it's more transmissible in the community setting by people with mild symptoms. As I said in the last two services, they always had to make it so that the people who don't have any symptoms are the most dangerous. That's part of the pandemic. That's part of the plan. Because if someone has symptoms, they're sick, they go to the hospital, you deal with that person. They have symptoms, and you quarantine them, you take care of them. Oh, but you know who are really dangerous? All those people walking around with no symptoms, but they're super spreaders and they're carriers of the bubonic plague and they're going to kill everybody. So let's put the healthy and quarantine them and shut them down. Which is, from a natural perspective, the worst thing you could do. The worst thing. So this is you remember, and I said this earlier, you remember when Sleepy Joe, during the debate with President Trump, said, we're about to go into a dark winter, dark winter, dark winter. Well, guess what? Dark winter was the name of a pandemic exercise in 2003. First post 9/11 pandemic exercise was called dark winter. Accident? I don't think so. But this is what they're planning. And so 3 weeks after Trump puts them on notice. Remember Fauci 2017? We have a pandemic surprise for Trump at the end of his term. Now by December, we hear SARS-CoV-2. And what's the scenario? Almost identical. Is that a coincidence, folks? I don't believe in coincidences. And then we see all this article I shared last time I was here, World Bank document that got leaked, lists COVID-19 program ending in March of 2025. I wonder what they knew that we didn't know, that this wasn't going to go away in 15 days. 15 days to slow the spread, right? But remember, part of the one world government, one world economy is you got to bring down the big kid on the block. You got to bring down the United States of America. Ultimately, that was the biggest threat because Trump now has become the biggest threat to the globalists. And not just Trump, but a movement, right? A make America great again, make America first again movement. And so they have to commit the coup. I'm going to be talking about that tonight. But one of the things we have to understand is the theft of our election. I brought some DVDs of Mike Lindell's Absolute Proof to share, you know, and I talk to people, I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican, conservative. I ask people, I said, you know, do you believe there's any evidence of election fraud? Now, I'm still shocked that there's some Christians who are educated say, no, I don't think there's any evidence of election fraud. Or, we've had so many court cases and not one. No, you haven't had any evidence produced before a judge. What you've had is cases dismissed on standing. And where, if you saw absolute proof and you saw Dr. Shiva, where two times they've presented actual evidence before judges, the judges have ruled in their favor and want more evidence. So pray for Arizona, by the way, because right now it's critical what's going on in Arizona and Maricopa County, because there's no doubt in my mind it's going to show probably at least 200,000 people, at least, which, as you know, Arizona was only decided by 14,000 people. It's going to show. The question is, will they have guts to do anything about it? Will we have guts to do anything about it? The most fraudulent election in this nation's history, it's a theft. And the evidence is there if we look at it. But all these people, no, there's no evidence. You're telling me that Trump hits all these markers and exceeds all the limits, gets 75 million votes, even if you look at the conservative numbers, even if you don't believe the actual numbers that are presented in absolute proof that he got more likely 80 million votes, but even if you believe 75 million votes, he gets 11 million more votes, wins places that he should have been, was predicted to lose by multiple points, every bellwether county, more votes from an incumbent than ever before, 50, 60,000 people at his rallies, and Sleepy Joe, with 12 people in social distance circles, beats him, gets more votes than Obama, but there's no evidence of election fraud. So this was the plan, right? The plan was the pandemic allowed them to be able to trigger ballots, right? That's why in Pennsylvania, 1.8 million go out, 2.5 million come in. But there's no election fraud, because they had to have a way of backing up the votes. That's what was going on. So then we have the sabotage. So my friend Brandon House and I came up with the concept of putting this DVD together with multiple speakers because of the fact that we wanted to demonstrate how they're sabotaging our nation, and the second half of the three DVD set, how they're sabotaging our churches. Our churches. They've infiltrated our churches. They've infiltrated the pulpits. They've infiltrated the seminaries. And now we get to the third part of this unholy trinity, the one world religion. I've been warning about Chrislam and interfaith and ecumenicalism, and now with this whole Abrahamic faith movement, this is corrupting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Muslims and Christians do not worship the same God. We do not have the same God. We do not have the same word. We do not have common ground, and we have to fight it. But the whole point of the one world religion is shut down the churches, shut down the faithful churches, shut down the professing churches. Just like in Germany, right? Co-opt the churches. They're co-opting the churches here. Except the difference is, in Germany, if they had 20%, I guarantee you we don't even have 5% in America. Praise God for churches like here in Rock Harbor. You guys are part of the remnant. Amen. You're part of the remnant. But most of the churches out there, right? They're part of the problem. But you have to understand, the whole goal was to shut down the church. Shut down the voice of the church, because the enemy knows we have power in the church. Not because of a building, not because of an organization, but because of God's people. So we're going to ban singing. Church is fine. Thousands of dollars every time they violate it. We have pastors arrested. This is Tony Spell in Louisiana, Brown in Florida. We had churches burned down, vandalized, but nothing, no media. By the way, I said this in the first service. How come we didn't hear any word about mosques being shut down? You heard nothing about any mosque being shut down, yet I had reports from across the country, people emailing me saying, we went, drove by the mosque, and Friday afternoon during Juma prayers, parking lot packed. Did you hear any mosque? They storm a mosque? Did they arrest a imam? No, that wouldn't have gone over very well, would have. But you got to shut down the churches and shut down the synagogues. So, and then we had people like John MacArthur here in California, who initially was on the wrong side of this argument. He was arguing Romans 13. Romans 13, we got to obey the government. He was criticizing Jack Hibbs and other pastors like Pastor Bannon here, who were staying open. Well, thank God he came around, right? Thank God he changed his tune. But why was he confused at the beginning? Why were the pastors confused about the fact that do not forsake the assembly of the believers even as the day approaches? There's no ambiguity, folks. It's a command of the Word of God. There should have been no ambiguity about our response at what we need to do as a church. If it didn't work with threats of arrest, we're going to shut your power off. We're going to shut down your water. We're going to bring in the health inspectors. Remember in Calgary, Pastor Arthur Pawlowski, the pastor who on Resurrection Sunday, they came into his church to shut him down. He's the one who kicked them out and said, you are Nazis, you are Gestapos, right? And we just recently had him in Tennessee. I'll show you a picture in a minute. We had him at Patriot Church. And he told us, he said, not one pastor in Calgary is standing with him. Calgary, Alberta, Canada, because they think he wasn't being Christ-like when he called them Nazis and Gestapo. And I thought, wow, I thought as Christians we're called to call out evil when we see it. But no, we shouldn't, we should just roll over just like in Nazi Germany. So Pastor Pulaski, when they came into his church, he said this: they were illegally encroaching on our rights during the most holy days, during the Passover. How dare they? The audacity of these people coming in, it was a shocking thing. I was a bit shaken, but I did what every shepherd right now on the planet Earth should be doing, fending off the wolves. Amen? Amen. Fending off the wolves. But are most shepherds doing this? No. And you're going to hear later, Pastor Bannon, he's doing that. He's fending off the wolves. He's preparing. He's warning you about how to prepare to be able to fend off some of these wolves that are coming to come against us and to criminalize us and outlaw us. But we have to have more of this. Where are the pastors? Or perhaps is it because they've been compromised? They're corrupted. They're afraid. They're too much worried about their kingdom. And here's Pastor Pulaski and his brother getting arrested in Calgary. On the freeway after a church service, they chased them down. 12 police officers, 12 constables, 7 vehicles, including a paddy wagon, to arrest a pastor. And what's his crime? For having church services. Welcome to North America, folks. Welcome to our day and age. So here we have Pastor Pulaski right there with Pastor Ken Peters and myself in Patriot Church. And you go, well, why are you holding toilet paper? What's that about? Why do you got toilet paper? Well, when they arrested him multiple times, he was arrested 12 times. When they arrested him the last time, last two times, they would no longer allow him to have his Bible in the church or in the prison. And they were getting really mad at him when they would worship, when he would sing and worship, and they would get mad at him. And one time they actually let him out early because they were so tired of him singing. But he said in order to pass time, they gave him a roll of toilet paper. And so they would make these little balls that look like soccer balls. And they would sit there, him and his brother, and they'd play toilet paper soccer. I didn't know this was a thing, apparently. But they would play toilet paper soccer in the jail to keep themselves occupied. But they were praying and they were worshiping. And so he was willing to suffer. And so I said, listen, I'm ready to be arrested if that's what it takes. And we need to lay our lives down. But we need more pastors like this who are courageous enough to wake up the church, to wake up God's people. Now, Revelation 13 said, we got to be aware of the coming of the mark of the beast, right? So people said to me during COVID, could COVID be pestilence of Matthew 24 and Revelation? I said, no, I don't believe it's the pestilence because I don't believe that this is the pestilence that God has said is going to happen. But is it preparing the way? Potentially. Is the vaccine or this jab, could it be the mark of the beast? No, I don't believe this is the mark of the beast, but I think it's preparing the way. Even when I was here last July, I said I believe that this was paving the way for the mark of the beast. So let's look at how it could be. Well, first of all, what's interesting is you have the fact that they were planning vaccine passports months, if not 2 or 3 years, before we ever heard one word about COVID-19. They've been planning this, again, because it is part of agenda what? 21, right? It's part of agenda 21. They have to have a way of tracking you and I. And so the best way is the idea of a vaccine passport. Well, it's not just going to be paper. It's going to be digital, right? Digital passports, an app, because wherever you have your phone, they can track you, right? You can turn off every notification, everything you want. They'll still track you. The only way not to track you is take out the battery and break your phone. Then they'll track you with your car. Because most of us have GPS chips in our vehicles, if your vehicle is a fairly new vehicle. So they want to track you. Well, what better if they have a digital vaccine? Now, there's also the element potentially of some nanoparticles. That's a whole other conversation. But right now, as part of the Great Reset, they have to implement digital passports. Now, you're already seeing this. Oregon became the first state. Oregon, Washington, California kind of work together because they have this regional compact that is part of the United Nations Agenda 2021 and 2030. They've adopted this past year. I made the statement. I said, Oregon, Washington, California have ceased to be independent states. They're not independent sovereign states anymore because they've adopted now a UN compact. But they said vaccine proof must be there for businesses, workplaces, and churches. So Pastor Bannon, Are we going to set up scanners in our doorways? Are we going to start scanning people when they come in with your phone, like at the airport? Beep. Nope, sorry. Beep, beep, beep. Alarm goes off. Security! Kick that person out. They can't come into the house of God to worship. I mean, it sounds far-fetched, right? But not that far-fetched. Because I guarantee you, a bunch of churches are doing it. They're already preparing for it. These are the same churches that stayed shut down for a year. And now they're open, and now they're reporting names. They're taking, you gotta make a reservation to come to church. Gotta wear masks, you gotta show proof of vaccination. We're gonna contact Tracy, we're gonna turn your names over to the county board of health or whatever, the state health department, so we can make sure. They're already doing it, folks. And in Iran and China and in Nazi Germany, they would have called those state-run churches. They're not churches anymore. They're government entities, just like businesses. We got to stop protecting some of these businesses as they're private businesses. They have constitutional rights. No, when they become an agent of the government, they're not private businesses anymore. The airlines were never private businesses. They're corporate entities. They're owned by, they're bailed out by the government. So California, what happens in your state? Oh, well, we don't like the term vaccine passport. That doesn't really sell well. So we're just going to have digital verification system. Guess what? Same thing. It's just digital. How are they going to monitor it? On your phone? Some other way? A bracelet? We'll see. Now, there's some states that have said no, like Florida and Texas have been the strongest in banning them, thank God. But it's coming. And some are making the analogy, could the vaccine passports now, as part of the Great Reset, as part of Agenda 21, of this reshaping of the world, one world government, one world economy, one world religion, could it be that this is like Nazi Germany with the yellow star? Well, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, the Lord put this on my heart as I was preparing for my message, that he wanted me to be able to communicate this, that now we're at the place where they're trying to declare us as unclean, just like they did with the Jews. That's the whole plan, right? Remember, that's how they started with the Jews, right? The idea is that they're less than, they're unclean. And so now, folks, we're about to enter a time of a two-tier system. The vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, the clean versus the unclean, the privileged versus the, we're going to deny you privileges. If you consider eating a privilege. If you consider working a privilege. If you consider traveling and being able to move around a privilege. That's what's coming. If we don't stop it. If we don't pray, if we don't act, if we don't stop. And as a church, you guys are doing that. And that's what we need more of. We need more churches to be proactive about this. But listen, I really believe we're 1938 Germany. Watch this. Look at some examples. California Cafe charges fee to customers wearing masks. They're bragging that, you know, you wouldn't have to pay the fee if you just got vaccinated, got the shot. Florida concert, $18 for vaccinated, $1,000 for unvaccinated. That sounds fair, doesn't it? Tennessee College, private college, is charging a $1,500 health and safety fee for those who are unvaccinated. Because they have to be tested multiple times a week. You're vaccinated, you come on campus, no mask, no testing, go wherever you want. You're unvaccinated, you're a danger to society. And we're buying this stuff. And then I saved the worst for last. This is one that makes my blood boil. I get very angry about this. This just happened recently at a prom. High school students had Sharpie, permanent Sharpie, on their hands marked that they were unvaccinated, and they had to raise their hand in the dance to show who was unvaccinated so if those who were vaccinated could be separated from them. Parents didn't know about it. They found out after the fact, as it usually what happens, right? After the fact. And some parents said, man, this sounds a lot like Nazi Germany. Hello. And it's not just the government, folks. It's our pastors. Our pastors are pushing this global agenda. Here's J.D. Greer, the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, largest evangelical denomination in America, pushing the COVID shot. Here's him getting the shot, saying, one step back closer to normal. What does that look like, J.D.? What's normal? Or maybe you believe normal is globalism, J.D. How about Franklin Graham? Said back in April, he believes Jesus would support the COVID vaccine. I think if there were vaccines available in the time of Christ, Jesus would have made reference to them and used them. So Jesus would be okay with you putting an untested, emergency use, experimental treatment that has not passed one animal testing It did not pass one successful animal testing, and Jesus would be okay with you putting it in your body. You see, what the Lord put on my heart, the enemy is trying to declare you as unclean. And don't let him declare you as unclean, because what God has declared to be clean is not unclean. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to put my faith and trust in that my life is in Christ's hand. Amen?
Amen.
I live by faith, not by fear. My days are numbered. My days are numbered. I take precautions. Hopefully eat well, exercise, do whatever is in my control. But folks, there's been vaccines since the fall of man. There's going to be vaccines until Jesus comes. There's going to be viruses since the fall of man. There's going to be viruses until Jesus comes back. I can't walk and live because I'm afraid of dying. As believers, I believe that's not the way we're supposed to live. But we have, frankly, and listen, he doubled down. Look at this. He said in April or May, get vaccines or it could be too late. I want people to know that COVID-19 can kill you. Anything can kill me. Stepping out of the house, I could die. I mean, and then he says, but we have a vaccine out there that could possibly save your life. And if you wait, it could be too late. I rebuke this fear.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Stop it.
Amen.
This is demonic, folks. This is not of the Lord. They're falling prey to it. And it should show you. It doesn't matter who you are, how big you are. We're all susceptible to deception if we don't stay grounded in the Word of God by faith, living by faith, living by the power, living by the fact that I'm blood covered. I'm a blood-bought child of the living God. And no man is going to declare me to be unclean when Christ has declared me to be clean. Amen?
Amen?
No man. Don't let him do it. This is Nazi Germany again if we don't stop it now. This is the warning right now. We warned about shutting down or staying home. People, we didn't listen. We warned about shutting down your businesses. We didn't listen. Oh, it'll just be a few weeks. And they destroyed most of our livelihoods. I have so many friends that went broke and bankrupt. They put masks on our face and our kids in bubbles. We didn't listen. And now with these shots, are we going to listen? We have a good problem in America. Biden didn't meet his goal of 70%. Oops. Tennessee, we have, they're calling us one of the most vaccine resistant states. And you know who the number one, culprits are? White conservatives. But our lukewarm Republican governor hired two firms that are leftist firms to now put on the, campaign, the ad. It's all about, it's like the mask, right? At first it was, it saves you. Then the CDC comes out and says, does nothing. The box says, not for COVID. Then they come out, well, it's not about you, it's for others. Save others. Now they came out with the CDC. Vaccinate kids as young as 12 and younger. Now they came out, oops, nope, don't do vaccinate kids as young as 12. This is our lives, folks, that they're messing around with. And they don't care because they're globalists, and I'm telling you, they're telling us what they're going to do to us. The enemy is telling us what their plan is. Why are we buying the lie? Why are we listening? Why are Christians, why are believers listening to this stuff? So I just wanted to let you know, whatever your view is of the shot, and I'm not here to judge or condemn, all number one is just do your research. And I don't mean CNN and Fox News and the CDC and the WHO. Look at these sources, as Pastor Brad was mentioning. Listen to the frontline doctors. Listen to Mikovits. Listen to Tenpenny. Listen to some of these experts that I've been on conferences with as well. These are amazing things. And I'm gonna show you here why I say terror to good works in a minute. No one should be denied any God-given right for refusing to be vaccinated.
Amen.
No one person. And we should have the right of a medical exemption. And we should have the right of religious exemption. But understand, Oregon and Washington got rid of those. There is no medical exemption, period. And there is no religious exemption. Now, California, I don't think you're there yet. So you guys got to fight now. That's what Pastor Brandon is going to talk to you about. But this is a terror to good works. And finally, I think we need alternative systems. I'm going to talk about it a little bit tonight. We got to have alternative systems. Listen, what's going to happen with our kids in school? If you as a parent decide, I'm not going to give them this shot. Little kids are getting heart inflammation. Never had a health issue. have a 0.00000 something percent chance of getting this virus and dying from it. And we're telling them get a shot that's untested. This is insanity, in my opinion. I think it's a definition of insanity. But but if we don't operate as a church in faith and not by fear, like Mr. Graham and others are peddling, this is part of the global system. So we're starting, Brandon House and I launched a website called Sanctuary States for Liberty, some Sanctuary Counties for Liberty, because we believe that we may need to have some areas around the country of places of refuge if this stuff gets even more insane. You may or may not want to leave, but in case you do, we may have to have that option. But finally, we're being outlawed, folks, and they're using the Chinese police system to do it, the Chinese credit system. China is the model of this global governance. China was the guinea pig. They've tested everything on China. They have the social credit system working. They have the digital currency. They have the surveillance system. If we allow ourselves to go into this path, we will not only look like China, we will be China, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take us in and subjugate us. The purge is already here. As Pastor Brandon was talking about, folks, the idea of not being able to be on social media, get information out, that's part of the purge. You'll see it tonight in another presentation. They have to silence us, but we will not be silenced. And this is the part that I wanted to cover really quick. I didn't cover in the first two services. All these pastors telling us that the church should be a positive example of the gospel by obeying the government. By the way, I mean, that was MacArthur's argument at the beginning here in California. He argued that this is a blight on the gospel if we don't obey the government. Well, Pastor MacArthur and others, I want to show you why you're wrong. You know, Romans 13, which they use left and right, they've used it. You know, it's interesting that the Lord put this on my heart last night, Pastor Brandon. It's interesting, Romans 13 and Revelation 13. Revelation 13 is speaking about the coming beast system. They're going to put us under a mark. And yet Romans 13 is the most abused passage on false obedience to tyranny and evil. The most abused passage in church history. Number one, verse one is mistranslated. No Bible has it translated right, and the King James is the closest to it. Every person is subject to the governing authority. Wrong. Every person is subject to, the word there is hyperecho. The highest authority. Highest authority. So the King James gets it close by saying the higher power. So every translation is wrong according to the original. Does it make sense that we're all subject to the government? No. Does it make sense we're all subject to God? Yes. But that's not strong enough evidence. Well, Sharam, it's talking about we must be subject to civil magistrate. Ah, God has instituted more than one magistrate. How many magistrates are there? In my opinion, there's four magistrates. Is civil one of them? Yes. Civil authority is one authority. The word there, authority, again, highest authority, hyperecho, and the word there, exousia, means a delegated or handed out authority, meaning God has delegated a level of authority. For example, is there church leadership? Yes. Does God give church leadership a delegated authority? Pastors, overseers, shepherds? Yes. Is it unconditional? Goodness, no. We've seen the abuse of it if church authority is unconditional. Whatever pastor says goes. Whatever the elders say go. We've seen the abuse of that, right? So the church magistrate has a conditional authority to it. What about in the family? Is a family a magistrate? Yeah, mom and dad, you have authority, right? Is the family magistrate unconditional? Husbands, obey your wives no matter what they do. Wives, obey your husbands no matter what they do. Period. Yes or no? It's conditional, right? It's conditional. Meaning that if my wife or husband is doing things that clearly Scripture has laid out as being a violation of covenant, then I'm not going to obey my husband or wife. If a husband is beating his wife, as a pastor, am I going to tell the wife, obey your husband? I hope not, but pastors have. So the family magistrate has a conditional authority. The church magistrate has a conditional authority. I would argue there's a fourth magistrate, individual, I, myself, have certain level of authority over myself. Right? I'm responsible for me. But the fourth magistrate, why is it when we get to the civil magistrate, we say, there's no condition. Obey government no matter what. That doesn't make sense, does it? Doesn't make sense at all. Ah, so let's look at the verse. How about in verse 3? For rulers are not, again, I know I'm going over time. This is so important, folks. For rulers are not a terror. This is the word. I've read this so many times. And then finally, the Lord just, you know how sometimes, you know, Holy Spirit just boom. Are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do not be afraid of the authority. Do what is good and you will have praise for the same. For he, that civil magistrate, is God's minister to you for good. I would argue any magistrate, because again, in verse 1 is the highest authority and God is delegated. I believe this verse is talking about all the different magistrates. So, you know, a pastor, a shepherd, he's a minister of God for your good. A husband and a wife are to be ministers of God for each other's good, right? But there is a condition. What's the condition? Now, verse 3. Because they are to be not a terror to good works, but to evil. So here's the $64 million question. Number one question. Whose definition of good works? God's definition of good works, not mine or yours. What God has defined as a good work. So here's an example. One practical example. God's word said, do not forsake assembling of the believers, right? That's a clear direct. So that's, in God's view, that's good. That's a good work. Even as the day approaches, don't forsake meeting and assembly. But so many pastors told us, like MacArthur, shut down the churches. Government said so. We got to obey government. Otherwise, we're being a poor example of the gospel. Of course, again, he changed his mind. Because then when President Trump came out and said, open up the churches, all of a sudden John MacArthur said, yay, we're going to open up the churches. But then Governor Newsom said, shut down the churches. Now, which magistrate are you going to follow? You see, if you're living and dying based on that, rather than based on the word of God, you're going to be wishy-washy, a double-minded man. So again, praise God when someone wakes up and comes around, and you know we're all subject to it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying there's a condition. God defines what is good. God defines what is right. So what's the condition here? Ah, what if that magistrate becomes a terror to good? Now what do? You must obey God. So now, verse 3 is a clause. It's a conditional clause in Romans 13. It's a trigger clause. Just like there's a trigger clause in the family magistrate, just like there's a trigger clause in the church government magistrate, there's a trigger clause in the civil authority magistrate. Meaning, if the civil authority itself becomes a terror to good works according to God, you have the obligation to obey God. Meaning you are absolutely righteous and on the right path and doing exactly what God wants you to do. So when the churches who stayed open were being chastised, they were the ones who were doing the right thing, and those who were chastising them were committing sin.
Amen.
But we have to be able to articulate these things, because so many people just go, well, they said it. But you know what? Next Sunday I'm going to be talking about this at Patriot Church. That's what the Black Robe did. The Black Robe Regiment pastors of old understood this proper condition. They understood when that trigger comes in. And we have to understand that. And folks, we're here now. We're here. Well, Sharam, you know, what if my boss says I have to do this, or I'm going to lose my job, or what if the state government says, you're here. You're at that point. Your question is, what are they asking me to do according to the verse? Is it good or not? According to God, is it good or not? And if not, what do I do? Everybody uses the term render unto God. Remember, right? Luke 20. But how about we don't ask the question? We always don't answer the question, what belongs to God? We render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. How come we never ask the question, what belongs to God? So there's your answer. Whatever belongs to God, your marriage, your children, your conscience, your faith, your church, none of those things belong to Caesar. They all belong to God.